got no home or no place to roam. Ain't got no home or no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number or try your call again.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes?
Are you by chance a vicious criminal?
Oh, you know it. Good afternoon and welcome to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Heffy, keeping you up to date with the latest real estate rules and regulations and home buying tips. Reach Radio would like to welcome you to Foreclosure Month. Foreclosure information, if you want to put it that way. During the month of June, we will be featuring guests and experts working in the foreclosure business. Florida is still the number one foreclosure state in the nation, and we feel education is your best defense. Knowledge is a byproduct of information, so you have the month of June to tell your friends about Reach Radio's on-air foreclosure workshop. Just a friendly reminder, Reach is the acronym for Real Estate Education and Community Housing. We are a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation, assisting homeowners and home buyers reach and maintain the American dream of home ownership, and we do that through education, financial awareness, and monetary assistance. Our mission is placing families in a home, not just a house. The toll-free number for Reach is 855-48-REACH, 855-48-REACH, or 855-487-3224. You may also visit our website at www.reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Reach counselors tell us you may become a homeowner before the end of this year. To get started, call the good folks at Reach and let the staffers and counselors do what they do best. They have the latest information about how you can benefit from their substantial inventory of South Florida properties. And the best part is, they have the knowledge you need to help you become a homeowner. Well, coming up on today's show, financial guru Kasia Marzik is in the studio today to advise us on the risks of ignoring foreclosure notices and other financial planning information, and our house segment has the information you need when relocating. Reach Radio's show producer Rick Snyder joins us in Our House. You don't want to miss part two of this move. Then real estate news at the bottom of the hour with Steve Cody. His headlines are located just above his eyebrows, and the rest of the story is packed with lots of four-letter words. And by the way, news is a four-letter word. And of course, Reach Radio's Spotlight Home of the Week will show you how the good folks at Reach can make this house your home. But first, let's take a look at South Florida's real estate headlines brought to you by reachforhousing.org, your HUD-approved housing counselor. And now, Reach Radio's consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Steve Cody.
Thank you, Alan.
You bet.
Here's what we have coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. The foreclosure epidemic that swept across the country after the financial crash has ebbed somewhat. Since 2010, more than 40,000 homeowners have complained that they were scammed by somebody promising to offer foreclosure assistance. Now, the most costly of these foreclosure rescue scams, and now the most pervasive, involve or are directed by attorneys. We'll tell you how you can help yourself from falling for one of those scams. Speaking of foreclosures, new foreclosure filings in Broward and Palm Beach County both went down in May, another indication that the once crushing mortgage crisis has at least somewhat passed. The U.S. Department of the Treasury and the Department of Housing and Urban Development today announced an extension of the Obama administration's Making Homes Affordable program. It's going to continue through December 21st of 2015. The new deadline was coordinated with the FHA. An analysis of home buyer assistance programs available through state and local housing finance agencies and nonprofits show that about 90% of sales have some sort of assistance available, either to the seller or to the buyer. Banks based in South Florida are using less of their assets for mortgages, according to a new study. That means it could be harder for people to get home loans, but it also means that banks are less vulnerable to fluctuations in the housing market than they were a few years ago. And a new ranking of the most stressful states puts Florida at the top, based mostly on unemployment, lack of health insurance, and commute times. I question this, and a lot of other people do. We'll examine this list. There's something wrong here.
Well, Florida's number one at a lot of things.
I don't think stress is one of them.
No?
No.
What gives you that idea? when we return. Kasia Marcik joins us with more financial information than a mainframe computer at the IRS can hold in a lifetime. So stay with us. We know the way to San Jose. And just turn left at Burt Bacharach's house and look for Dionne Warwick and then ring the bell.
Ain't got no home. I know lady wrong.
Concerned about your future? Don't know how to make it right? How will you get your credit back? Where will your family live? The financial crisis has become very personal. Sleepless nights, not sure how you can hang on. Reach out and let Reach work with you toward financial and housing stability again. The good folks at Reach are waiting for your call. They're a 501c3 HUD-approved organization with a heart. Contact a Reach certified counselor today at 855-48-REACH or email housing@reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Check out their webpage and success stories at reachforhousing.org. Call 855-48-REACH. That's 855-487-3224. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Most of the services are free, so reach out. They'll reach back. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know a place wrong. Ain't got no home. I know a place wrong.
Welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host, and still Housing FA, with a message just for those seeking home ownership, or maybe you're just tired of paying rent and you want equity instead of inequity. If you're buying a home using FHA, HUD, or other government programs, you must complete selected HUD-approved training courses in order to qualify. There are more than 10 home ownership classes included in Reach's annual education membership program. They average between $25 and $49 per course. And the curriculum educates homeowners and home buyers on the basics of purchasing, owning, and maintaining a home. Reach's credit management workshop will teach you how to deal with any credit issues and help you get back on a sound credit track. That's why Reach bundled 2 free credit checks per year in their annual membership program. That's a $40 value all by itself. You know, when you add up the cost of all these valuable educational home buyer programs, you would normally pay $250. But for a limited time, Reach is offering Reach Radio listeners the Reach Educational Membership Program for only $99. Did I say that right? I believe I did. $99. That's a $151 savings just for saying you heard about it on Reach Radio. So call the good folks at Reach today and tell them you would like to sign up for their Educational Membership Program. Toll-free number is 855-48-REACH, 855-48-REACH, or 855-487-3224. All classes are taught in English, Spanish, and Creole. So what are you waiting for? To enroll, call the good folks at Reach right now. Their toll-free number is 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. Remember to press 0 for the operator. Don't miss out. Reach out. Okay, our first guest is a certified financial planner with a BA degree in economics from Rutgers University. She's a certified chartered retirement planning counselor, and currently Kasia Marcik is the president of Anchor Wealth Management Group in West Palm Beach, Florida. Kasia, welcome to the Reach Radio Show. How are you?
Great. How are you, Al? Yeah. Remember, Alan, I wanted to say a word before she started. May I?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. That's Pat Tracy, the executive director of Reach. And Kasia, hang on just a second, and we'll let Pat do her thing.
Okay. I wanted to say that Kasia's here not as a stranger to Reach, but as family to Reach. And we met she and her husband, Michael. He helps us with our homes. And it was, you know, I'm Presbyterian, so it was just more providence, I feel, that Michael came into our office one day in a very difficult time with housing. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Offered his services, has gone out and helped us put his money where his mouth is, helped us do homes, put low-income families in there, accepted the mission, and has worked with us probably for the last 3 years. So through Michael, we met his wife, who does financial planning, and I'm sure that her financial planning helps him do all the things that he does. And I was privileged to go to Kasia's open house Christmas, and I met the many clients she serves. And they're of all types of income levels, and everyone was speaking about her dedication. So I wanted to add those words. We didn't just bring in a stranger. We brought in family.
Oh, perfect.
And now I can turn it over to you. And
all
Patrick.
Right. Well, it's a good thing. You know, I didn't know you were Presbyterian, so you don't eat meat, right?
Okay. That's not part of the deal.
Okay. Well, Kasia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome, hon.
Well, you know, we are family here at Reach Radio, and we try to do the best job we can to inform and, dare I use the word, entertain people. But, you know, we have a nice group of listeners that hang out with us every week, and we like to bring them all the information they need to get into their own home. So you're in the financial planning business. What led you to that?
Well, I think it was a passion of mine and that I kind of discovered, not even knowing about it. I moved here from Poland 17 years ago, and I went to college and I got myself some education. I invested in myself. And when I figured what I wanted to do was I wanted to help people. And I didn't know in what manner I could actually do it. And having a degree in economics allowed me to actually understand the markets and understand budgeting, understanding you know, how the stock market works, how your retirement accounts work, how does the economy actually work, what's the GDP. And with that, I started looking into becoming a financial planner. And it kind of landed on my laps, so to say, right after college. And I just love what I do.
I love your accent. I keep sitting here thinking, where's Moose and Squirrel? That's great. So let me ask you, you moved here 17 years ago, so you're pretty well acclimated to South. You came to South Florida, right? Or you were in New Jersey for
a while? No, I came to New Jersey first. I've been in South Florida for 9 years.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that, New Jersey.
I know.
But, you know, brightened up and you got down to the warm weather and you came down here. So in the financial planning world, why in the world would I – well, obviously you studied and so you know. The average person probably doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about their financial planning. So what are the advantages of having a financial planner as opposed to not?
Well, what I want to say first is I think that failing to plan is planning to fail.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't do planning, you basically are planning to not do right by your finances and go into foreclosure and lose your house and not stick to a budget and not have enough money to retire, not have money to send your kids to college, or not have money to go on vacation. Because I believe that it all starts in planning. And I believe that we live in this great country that allows us to do anything and everything that we want because we have all this opportunity, and I'm a perfect example of it because you can really achieve whatever dreams you have, and planning allows you to get there. Planning allows you to put it in a step-by-step process once you have the goal. So what is your goal? Is it retirement? Is it education? Is it, buying a home? What is your goal? And then a planner allows you to kind of use the resources that you have to put them into action and take advantage of them and make the right decisions. And usually, and I know you have the financial or foreclosure prevention month, and I believe in prevention. And sometimes I call myself a financial doctor. And all about in medicine right now is all about prevention.
Yeah, if you plan, take two IBM stocks and call me in the morning.
Exactly. If you plan ahead, so if you listen to your doctor, you do your review of your finances, like you go for your annual physical, you do review of your finances, you look at your stocks, so you look at your bonds, you look at your budget, you look at the insurance policies, you're going to prevent a lot of things that could happen in and a lot of the roadblocks that could stop you from keeping your house, that could stop you from buying your home, and that could stop you from retiring.
What do you think the most common mistake people make when they're trying to plan, when they don't use a financial planner? Is it just the lack of knowledge to know what to do, or do they just do something that they think they should do and they do it wrong?
Well, they usually do it on piecemeal basis, so you really have to, again, look at the whole picture. So if you just look at what stock should I buy, you know, I heard on the radio, I heard on TV that this is a good stock and I'm going to go and buy it. If you just do that, you usually make a mistake because it may not be something that's right for you based on your age, based on your risk profile, based on your situation. Or you may do what somebody else at work is doing and you may think, well, they're successful, I'm going to follow them and do the same thing.
And I bought this stock once, it's Toilets R Us, and it just went down the drain. It was, no.
Exactly. So every situation is unique. So you really need to look at the whole picture and actually set up the whole process of actually the planning.
Right. And emergency fund, is that part of that planning too, setting up for an emergency fund? I mean, I try to have an emergency fund, but I can only go to McDonald's and buy a sandwich. That's about it.
Well, emergency fund, and most people don't really think about this, emergency fund is the first building block of a solid financial plan.
Of course.
If you do not have an emergency fund and you get laid off, you get sick, or something comes up and you need a new roof and you don't have any money, what's going to happen? You're going to go into debt, or you're going to have to borrow money, or you're going to lose your house, or you're going to not be able to buy food for your kids. So emergency fund is the first building block of financial planning, and it basically prepares you for emergencies like illness or a layoff. And ideally, you should have 3 to 6 months of your expenses in emergency fund. And it changes when you retire. When you retire, you should have closer to 12 months of your expenses. And I'm not talking about, taking a vacation, paying for cable TV. I'm talking about paying for your insurance, paying your rent or your mortgage.
The basics,
your groceries. So that's when planning comes into play, where you actually go over your expenses and you figure how much is it that I need in the emergency fund. I've worked with a lot of people that had no emergency funds. They had credit card debt, and you can get there as long as you actually have a plan.
Perfect. Well, listen, we have to take a little tiny break. Just hang on. There's a bar right over there on the thing. Just hold the bar. There you go. Hang on. We'll be right back. When we return, Kasia will give us some tips on what to look for when selecting a financial planner. And did you know there's a difference between men and women when planning for future finances? So stick around. It's better than sticking square, I believe.
Ain't got no home, I know lady wrong. Ain't got no home.
You have a heart because you know what happened to your neighbors. REACH is a tax-deductible, HUD-approved organization. Their funding comes from HUD, corporate sponsors, and individual donors like you. They're here to help those in need with their trained counselors, certified in home buyer training, reverse mortgages, credit rebuilding, and foreclosure prevention. They've helped families stay in their homes, stabilizing community. They've placed families in homes throughout Florida. If you can help, even a small donation goes a long way with this group. REACH is highly regulated and audited, and your donations are tax-deductible and will be used for community stabilization. 85% of all donations given to REACH are from people like you. Give of your funds, your time, and your support. It will keep your property values high and help restore a family. Check us out at reachforhousing.org. Email us at housing@reachforhousing.org. That's the number 4, housing.org. Or call 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know lady wrong. Ain't got no home. I know lady wrong.
Welcome back to REACH Radio. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and housing heavy. Reminding you again that June is foreclosure month. Every Saturday during the month of June, we feature guests and experts working in the foreclosure marketplace. Be sure to tell your friends about our special REACH Radio on-air workshop. All right. Kasia Marzik rejoins us as we continue the conversation about financial planning. And it's a good thing because Kasia is a certified financial planner with a degree in economics from Rutgers University. And currently she is the president of Anchor Wealth Management Group in West Palm Beach, Florida. You know, we didn't get a chance to give your website out before. I'll let the folks know. It is anchorwealthgroup.com. And the phone number is 561-228-8688. If you would like to get a hold of Kasia or the moose or the squirrel, whichever one serves you best. So thanks for hanging around. You see, hanging on to that thing through the break wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was okay.
Yeah, that was easy. See, we do that to everybody. So let's talk about your downtown development adventures. You don't do anything with downtown development at all?
Well,
or is that just something I made up?
Well, I actually, my office is in downtown West Palm Beach in the historic building, in the Harvey building, mm-hmm. and I got introduced to the downtown development agency, and they do a lot of grants and business subsidies for new businesses that come into the downtown area. So I'm actually going to be working on a committee helping them selecting the recipients for the grants that they offer.
Oh, cool. So you're involved in a lot of different things in the community, and that's what good. What's the Gold Coast Financial Planning Association?
Well, Financial Planning Association is the largest financial planners association in the country, and I've been on the board of the association since, I believe, 2009, and I'm actually the pro bono director for the association. So what we do, we use our planners to help out the community, because some people cannot afford, obviously, to go and hire a financial advisor. So what we try to do is go into the community and offer classes and offer seminars regarding financial planning to those who cannot afford it.
Wow, you need to come over to Reach on one of our, you know, we'll have Pat talk about the classes that we do a little bit later. She's coming up after the news, and we'll talk about that. But let's get back to the financial planning. What You say that it's different for women than it is men when planning their financial future. How's that?
Well, the first difference is, and I don't want to, you know, sound colloquial here, but a man is not a plan.
Oh, well, I knew that. My wife
so
tells me
most,
that every day.
You know, and you don't hear, you know, a man depends on the woman that much, but you hear a lot where the woman depends on the man.
Okay.
And unfortunately, what we find is that this kind of situation is changing quite a bit, and women are forced into having to plan for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is, you know, most men die before their wives. So the women become widowed, and they have to take over finances in situations where sometimes they have not had to do it at all. So they really have no idea what they had, where the money was, what are the bills that they're paying. So that's one of the scenarios. 50% of marriages ends in a divorce. So these female clients, they have to figure out, again, what are they supposed to do with their finances. Most of them, or a lot of them, did not plan for their retirement because they planned for their retirement with their husbands.
That's right.
So now, all of a sudden, they may or may not get a good divorce settlement, and they're in a situation where they have to figure out how they're going to live the rest of their life and how they're going to retire, and think about if they were a stay-at-home mom. If they were a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife, and now all of a sudden they need to maybe get out there and get a job, start planning for retirement, and what if they're 55 years old?
Yeah, going back to school is a slim option, I guess. Right?
Yes,
yeah.
And it becomes very, very difficult. And what we also find, I'm also on the national board of the Diversity Committee for Financial Planning Association, because what happens is women don't get to be listened to. So they may go into a situation where they go to the advisor doesn't not want to listen to what they have to say, and they do have specific needs.
You don't know my wife. She will listen to her, I'm telling you. All right, so that means now that a woman could be in a certain condition, like you said, due to a divorce or probably the death of the husband. So now they're going to go out and look for a financial advisor, and what should they look for? What would be the first thing that you want to learn about your financial planner?
Well, it's very personal. So you, first of all, need to have this this chemistry with the person that you're going to work for. You want to make sure that they're qualified. So when you go and interview a financial planner, you may want to ask them some questions. And some of them might be, you may want to find out what experience do they have, what are their qualifications, what services do they offer, what is their approach to financial planning, if you believe in the same way to kind of plan your finances, what kind of clients do they typically work with. If you're a single female, you don't want to go and work with an advisor that only works with families, because they're not going to know your issues. So you really need to find an advisor that works with specific issues that are appropriate for you, and that's your situation. And you also want to find out if he's actually going to be your advisor, or maybe that's the person that's going to meet with you for the first time, and then they're going to hand you off to somebody else, which most people would not like. And you also want to ask a couple of other questions, which is, have they ever been disciplined or for unethical behavior in their profession? Mm. And there are ways that there is actually required disclosure, so they have to provide it for you. And if you decide to hire a planner, you want to make sure he gives you the agreement in writing. You want to know what to expect, what are you paying for, what are the services that you're going to receive, and what is it that you can expect for the next 12 months or so if that's the agreement that you're going to sign.
Very cool. All right. Well, let me give your website out one more time. It is www.anchorwealth.com. Group.com, or you may call Kasia at 561-228-8688. That's 561-228-8688. Easy enough. We're going to have you back on the show again, because I've got about 2 pages more questions here, and we're just out of time. So
thank you.
All right. Well, we're about to launch the second half of the Reach Radio Show. Directly after the news, Pat Tracy brings us up to date with your homeowner bill of rights. How cool is that? And that will probably benefit all of us. After that, our house segment is here with even more moving and packing tips that will save you time and headaches. And of course, this week's Spotlight Home of the Week will show you how this house can become your home. But right now, live from the Electronic Palace, located in the northwest corner of a small closet just behind a blinking neon hotel sign, it's Reach Radio's Real Estate News at the bottom of the hour with our effervescent news guy, Steve Cody.
Thank you very much, Alan.
You bet.
The U.S. Department of Treasury and the Department of Housing and Urban Development announced an extension of the Obama administration's Making Homes Affordable program. It's going to be extended through December 31st of 2015. The new deadline was determined in coordination with the FHA to align with extended deadlines for the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP, and the Streamlined Modification Initiative for homeowners with loans owned or guaranteed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Now, homeowners seeking assistance with their mortgage payments have to remember that this is free to apply for. The Making Homes Affordable Program is absolutely free. Homeowners can work with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies free of charge to understand the options and to apply for help. And, of course, the sponsors of this very radio program, Reach, does exactly that. We'll give you the phone number in just a moment or two, so stick around. Speaking of help, an analysis of home buyer assistance programs available through state and local housing finance agencies and nonprofit groups around the nation found that 90% are funded and more than 70% of homes for sale could be eligible for one or more of those programs. The analysis of 1,654 home buyer assistance programs by Down Payment Resources found that southern states had the greatest number of programs at 598, but the 228 programs offered in the Northwest were most likely to be funded. 96.5% had money to provide help to eligible buyers, such as down payment and closing cost assistance, grants, tax credits, and affordable first mortgages with competitive or below market rates. Funding for homeowner buyer assistance programs comes from a variety of sources, including mortgage revenue bonds and mortgage-backed securities. In South Florida real estate circles, 2014 was supposed to be the year of the listing. A shortage of homes for sale dogged the market in 2012 and 2013, but more owners, encouraged by the steady increase in prices, were expected to test the waters this year and give formerly frustrated buyers new hope. It didn't really turn out that way so far. Although more properties are hitting the market in the country compared with a year ago, buyers and their real estate agents are still complaining about the lack of quality inventory. In April, there were 7,300 active single-family listings in Palm Beach County. That's up 17% over the same period a year ago. This according to the Realtors Association of the Palm Beaches. During the first quarter of this year, listings rose some 9% from a year earlier. But here's the problem. Available houses in the most desirable neighborhoods remain scarce. Some listings are in poor shape, overpriced, or both, leaving buyers scrambling to find something suitable. One realtor put it rather succinctly when she said, "There's just a lot of garbage out there." Banks based in South Florida are using less of their assets for mortgages, according to a new study. That means it could be harder for people to get home loans, but it also means that banks are more stable than they used to be. In 2006, before the housing bust, mortgages accounted for 36% of assets for 79 South Florida banks. By the end of 2013, that had fallen to just 18%. In communities across Florida, 112 young people are getting the phone call of congratulations and finding out that the check is in the mail. Why? Well, these students, high school graduates, are about to enter their first year of college, and some others who are already in college recently were notified that they got scholarships through the Florida Realtors Education Foundation. It's a not-for-profit corporation established by the State Realtor Association. The Florida Realtors Education Foundation provides real estate-related education scholarships and grants. The board's board of directors awarded $150,000 in scholarships to help young people during the 2014-2015 school year. And a ranking of the most stressful states put Florida at the top, based mostly on unemployment, lack of health insurance, and commute times. There's a lot to be debated about this ranking. First of all, that it comes from a real estate blog in California. It also seems to have caught some attention from places like the Miami News. Part of it is because lists and ranking are really common these days. North Dakota, for instance, was ranked the least stressful. That's certainly not a place where most people I know would consider moving to get rid of their stress. Most people would rather lie on the beach. Some real estate agents up north are probably tired of people moving to Florida, but perhaps there's some truth to the fact that certain parts of the Sunshine State have been, should we say, loved to death. And that's the news.
That's the news. Well, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but North Dakota has the lowest unemployment rate in the United States of America.
Well, there are 9 people there, and 7 of them have jobs. So.
That's right. But still, 3.2% is their... how do I know that?
How do you know that?
I'm the host in Housing Heavy.
Oh, okay.
I know everything. Well, listen, thank you so much for that great news report. As usual, our consistently random voice of you are the man. All right, well, joining us in the studio right now is the executive director of REACH with a special message about homeowners Bill of Rights. Pat Tracy, welcome to your show.
Thank you, Alan.
Homeowner's Bill of Rights. I just love the title.
You do. Well, Governor Scott did too, and he signed it into law yesterday.
Wow.
And of course you have a Bill of Rights because there's a need.
Right.
And insurance companies, as you know, and I think the biggest insurer is Universal Property and Casualty Insurance Company of Florida, you know, Citizens and that group, actually went in, and if there was a claim, years later, looked at each application, and if there was a minor, something that they could draw upon, which did not impact anything, the loss was there, the payments were made, they denied the claims.
Wait, let's back up a second and tell our listeners, why was there a necessity to have a Bill of Rights? What was going on that caused that to happen?
Well, the problem was people who had paid for their homeowner's insurance now had a need, something happened in their home, and it was not being paid because something on the original application they interpreted not to be 100% correct. It was just a very minor something, nothing huge. So what the Bill of Rights does, it's a newly signed law that makes clear insurers have 90 days, not 2 and 3 years, not at the time of the problem, but 90 days to check out applications and make a determination on the policy based on credit information available in public records. University Property and Casualty Insurance Company, the state's largest private insurer, whose biggest market is Palm Beach County, canceled policies instead of paying major claims based on what shocked customers saw as minor details of the applications filed sometime earlier this year.
You mean loopholes, right?
You got it.
There you.
They used a loophole, Alan, to get out of paying. So the same law creates a one-page Bill of Rights that homeowners get when they file their insurance. And I think that's an important update. It's something that will help many people. You also remember we discussed student loans
Right. Not
long ago. Well, I don't know if you're aware, but that bill fell in the Senate this past week.
So the interest rates are going to...
They're not going to be able to modify or refinance those student loans.
Those rats.
it would have saved students, they estimate, about $2,000 over the lifetime of their student loans, just being able to drop the rates. That was not approved. And right now they're looking at all of the student loan debt is really going to hamper the economy. Of course, Elizabeth Warren is not giving up. They are going back in, and they're going to try to get this ability to modify student debts just to current rates. Right now, there is some sort of refinance. Say, for instance, if you have a 6% rate and an 8% rate, then they can refinance to a modeled 7%. But what is happening with those people who have home mortgages, and they can get 4%.
Right.
Cars can sometimes get 2% right now. So why can't students refi into current rates and save the money so that they can save it or invest in their housing? The biggest problem is those high student loan debts do not allow them to even get a home. I looked at a rental application yesterday for the girl to rent at one of our properties, and her student loans are so high that I don't think she can make
the
payment.
She didn't qualify.
And it's really very, very sad. Also, another thing I...
Wait, before we move away from that, can't you go somewhere else and get financing and just pay that government loan off and then have a lower rate somewhere else? I guess that would involve having good credit to go to a commercial lender and get that money and pay off that loan. Can you do that?
Well, Alan, what would you use to... I mean, you know how hard something is without an asset to back up a loan.
Right.
You have a student who's studying. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're working part-time. I saw Kasia worked as a nanny while she was going to school. So maybe they're working part-time, and that, you know, you just don't have the income and the ability to do that. And
she was watching the moose and squirrel.
And the right thing is to let our students, our young people, stabilize themselves with this financial counseling and some ability with those student loans so that they can go ahead and do what our fathers and mothers did when the education was not quite as expensive.
Right. Well, that does put an extra burden on your shoulders. Number one, you're going to college. Say you're going to be a doctor. So you'd think, hey, a doctor, pretty good future there. That might be good collateral to give you a loan. Not so?
Well, my daughter is a doctor, still is paying on very high student loans. So, you know, it is very difficult. You come out of your profession, you have extremely high student loans. Fortunately for her, the income allows that. But very often, young people are sold a bill of goods, and the degree they have is never going to make the potential for income.
That's it. Well, I got my degree in candle making, so there's just not really much going on there.
Hey, Alan, before you had mentioned Jackson the Hospital.
Oh, that's right.
And I want to give a shout-out to Jupiter Medical Center. Jack's been there all week, so I've had an opportunity to sit and watch the nurses come in and out. Last night I spoke with Rosemary, and she's this gorgeous Haitian nurse. Her parents came here from Haiti. They have raised four professional children, all in our community, and it's just one of the wonderful stories of the immigrants we have here in South Florida. He also has a great nurse that generally does oncology. He's not in there for that, but she's on the floor, Gina, and she was called in on her normal day, what would have been her normal day off, but her eye checks everything you can imagine in the whole room, the body when she's checking. So it's just really good to see such dedication in our hospitals today to help people. So we're interested in their health, their home, and as Kasia says, their wealth, so people can be stable, the very important things of our life.
Well, we'd like to say get well, Jack. I know he's listening, right?
Oh, yes.
Did you force the nurses to put the station on so he'd have to listen?
I put the station on before I left.
Hey, Jack, we'll be up later with some pizza and a pole dancer, so hang on. We'll be right there. All right, so the student loan deal, that failed. Nothing we could do about that.
No, they're going back in. Elizabeth Warren is not going to let it die, so it's going to continue. And you're going to see it as a battle during this election field between the have and the have-nots, I guess. It's going to be that type of battle coming forward.
I was just going to say, is this the banks that's causing this? Are they lobbying Washington saying, no, we want those interest rates high? Because that's a lot of extra money for the banks.
Well, it's a lot of extra money for the government. That's who's getting the interest on these student loans. So the government gets the interest on this money. The bank gets some money, of course, to service it. But the government, those people in the Congress, some of them, do not want to pass over. Now, there were three Republicans that did go for the bill, and I'm just looking for their names. But very few of very few voted in this manner to help the students of our country, which I think is a very sad thing. I think it's where we should be putting in our dollars because that is our future.
Absolutely. And you know, I think I get it now. It's a profit thing.
Oh, it's a profit. It brings a lot of money into the country. So if you can make that money on the back of your kids, mm-hmm. It's a pretty sad state, don't you think?
Well, my kids owe me a lot, so I don't know. Maybe you're right. They should do something. And you know, education, of course, we know all about that. REACH is all about education and making sure that you have the knowledge you need to make it through life. And the higher education is just another way to do it, but it costs a lot of money. We don't charge a lot of money at REACH, do we?
No, we don't. We work on getting grants and other funding, and from people like Mike, who helps us with our homes, and we get a profit off of those, Kasha's husband, so that we can continue to offer our services. You know, one thing I've been thinking about that I want to bring up, I know I just have a second, but I want you to think about our local radio show as a Netflix operation. Download the iHeart app. You can hear us anywhere on iHeart, just like we can see the Netflix. Download iHeart, put it to 12:30 a.m. You can listen to us any place in the world, actually. So I think that's really neat. And since I've started to appreciate Netflix, I think it's a wonderful outreach.
Well, you know, the soldiers use us in Baghdad to torture the prisoners. They just put this show on and let it go. Well, Pat, thanks for coming by and filling us in with all that important and valuable information. So now it's time for this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, brought to you by, guess who? Pat Tracy and Associates. And her phone number is 561-351-8000. That's 561-351-8000. Don't call her right now. She's in the studio with us. But this week's Spotlight Home of the Week is in 3102 West Island Drive in Miramar, Florida. That's a little south for us. And by the way, I need to tell you about our new office that's opening up down in Kendall. So we're starting to work down in the south area. This beautiful single-family home has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. It's been totally redone from the new roof to the new floors. It's freshly painted with new granite kitchen countertops and new stainless steel appliances. Check this out. This home has a fireplace and a big family room and a Florida room, and it's ready to move into. It takes FHA, conventional, or the ever-popular cash to get the title. You know, you can Google this on Google Maps and take a look at it for yourself. It's 3102 West Island Drive in Miramar, Florida. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, and it's been totally redone from the roof to the floor. New roof, new floors, freshly painted, and new granite kitchen countertops. And that's this week's Spotlight Home of the Week. To make this house your home, call Pat Tracy and Associates at 561-351-8000. And like I said, don't call her now. She's in the studio with us. All right. Well, we've said this before, and even me, the one who just said it, would like to say it again. Thank you for joining us every Saturday. We do appreciate your company, and we'd like to give a hat tip to Floyd, Renee, a bunch of Jacksonville Shriners. They're probably out blowing their minds away today, and our favorite drone pilot, Charlie. And don't forget Jack up there in the hospital. Like I said, the Pete's and the pole dancer's coming. So to visit the show website, that would be www.reachradioshow.com, and you can check out the Home of the Week and listen to past shows. And once again, thank you for joining us.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Now it's time for the Our House segment. Joining us today, tomorrow, yesterday, all at the same time, is REACH Radio Show producer and part-time procrastinator, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Alan, for that wonderful introduction. I know we have had some comments on our moving tips from last week, and I know Carlton's coming up in a couple of minutes with some very important tips about how to keep the bugs out of your move. But I wanted to bring a couple of things back. One of them was that along with food and alcohol, that you have friends helping you move. When they're helping, give them first dibs on anything you planned originally to sell or donate.
The food and alcohol.
Keep that separate. But if you're giving things away, give them first shot at it. Why not? They're helping you to move.
Oh, that's cool.
When you pack boxes, put numbers on them, and make a detailed corresponding list of what's in each box by number. It makes it easier to make sure you didn't forget any boxes, or God forbid someone should steal one. And if there's anything valuable in there, you won't be broadcasting it to the world by writing it down on the box.
Oh, just a number. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I moved one time, and I had a big Epson printer box.
Yeah.
And I just had a bunch of books in it, and somebody stole it. They thought they were getting
the printer.
The printer.
Great.
So that is a good idea.
Remember also to write the contents and the number, any information on the side of the box. You write everything on the top after you seal it up. Terrific. But when you stack the boxes, you can't read the tops of the boxes. And use red duct tape to label all your essential boxes. The most important one, put a piece of red duct tape on so that you know how you're doing, where they are, where the important ones are.
They make red duct tape?
I'm sure. They make it in every color. Decorator duct tape.
okay.
After everything is said and done, you're packed, you're ready to move, where's your stuff? Where's your important? Where's your toothpaste and your underwear? Where is that stuff? So at the end, first of all, pack an overnight bag containing all your essentials. Chances are you'll be so tired after the move, you won't want to unpack. You'll just want to lay down and go to sleep. All essentials within easy access, including a change of clothes if you're going back to work the next day, as well as your toiletries. It's a great way to transport a laptop, which could run the risk of getting stolen during the move. And pack the items you'll need first in a clear plastic bin. This includes things like a box cutter, paper towels, trash bags, eating utensils, select cookware, power strips, phone chargers, toilet paper, tools, etc. Once you get in there, you want these things close by and handy. So a clear plastic bin becomes very important. Let's see, we got the sides. Somebody said, how do you pack plates? You stack them up? No. Pack them vertically like records. Wrap them up, stack them vertically, less chance of them falling.
What's a record?
Sorry.
You mean an album, a vinyl album?
One of those, yes. And I know Carlton's coming up in just moments with his information on getting the bugs out of your moving. So that's your house and our house this week.
Cool. Well, when we return, just like Rick said, Carlton Thompson will join us with some advice about moving bugs. Or was that bugs that move with you? Stay with us. Reach Radio's pest control freak will be doing what he enjoys the most, bugging you, bugging devices, and bugging the bell.
Looking for a home? Don't understand all the numbers and the housing language? You've seen all the housing problems and are just afraid to make the next move. After all, this is the biggest purchase of your life. Reach out to the good folks at Reach, a HUD-approved housing counseling agency. Their trained staff will walk you through and stay with you until you get into your home. If you're in a home now and have made some mistakes, they're there to help. Their mission is to inspire and motivate you to achieve or maintain the dream of home ownership through education, counseling, and grant assistance. They're your Florida community friends. Reach out today. They'll reach back, and you'll be glad you did. Call 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224, or email housing@reachforhousing.org. Check out our webpage, reachforhousing.org. That's the number 4, housing.org. We're there for you.
Ain't got no home, I know play it wrong. Ain't got no home, I know face the wrong.
Welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing jefe, with a special first-time home buyer message just for you. You know, if you're tired of paying rent, purchasing a home might be on the top of your list of things to do. So you may want to know about Reach's first-time home buyer workshop. The next workshop is on Sunday, June the 22nd, from 1 to 7 p.m. at Reach's headquarters located in Palm Beach Gardens. For additional information about Reach's first-time homebuyer workshop, call them toll-free at 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224, and get signed up while you still can. These classes fill up pretty darn fast. So anyway, that brings us right up to the guy with a bug in his pocket and a frog in his throat, Reach Radio's resident pest control freak, Carlton Thompson. Carlton, welcome back to the show again.
Hey, how you doing, Al?
Hey, I'm doing pretty darn good. I understand you're over on the West Coast today?
Yeah, I'm trying to chase down a shark this weekend.
You know, you told me that your little girl, your little 13-year-old daughter, caught a shark. Is that?
Yeah, she hooked into one last night. Wasn't a real big one, but she hooked into one. But we weren't quite prepared for a shark to get on. So,
well, she's not a big kid.
It was a matter of time until it broke the line, but she had some fun with it. She did end up catching a nice redfish yesterday, though.
Nice. That's Gracie, right? Grace? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. She's quite a person there, as I understand it, doing a lot of cool things in the softball arena and everything else. But let's get over to the bugs there. First, I was thinking, does anything ever bug you?
You.
I knew that was coming. Well, you know, we talked, I don't know if you got to hear any of the Our House segment there talking about moving around and everything gets put into boxes, and you brought up a pretty darn good point the other day about when you move, you might be moving your bugs with you.
Yeah, well, here's a couple of things you want to think about. Most of us don't have the money to go buy all brand new boxes, so we go around to local supermarkets and things to get our boxes.
Correct.
There's going to be different types of roaches and you know, a few different types of little insects that are going to be in those boxes, and, well, you're going to bring them with you.
Right. They can lay seeds. Oh, not seeds. eggs.
Yeah, they usually eggs. Lay eggs. If they're laying seeds, let me know. I'd like to look into that.
Yeah, we like to grow our roaches, right?
Yeah. But you want to take those items, you know, that you're moving, and as quick as you can unpack it, and then put those outside. Don't put them in the garage and store those boxes till trash day. Try to get rid of them as fast as you can. Also, if you're renting a moving truck, before you take the truck and start putting all your stuff in it, look in there real close in the nooks and the crannies and the corners and see if there's any bugs already in there, because there's a good chance that you might be able to bring home some bugs. And here's the scary part. A lot of times people don't realize that they slide their mattress in there.
Ew.
The guy before you slid his in too, and he had bed bugs. That's a real problem right now.
Ah, I didn't even think of that.
Be real careful of that.
Wow.
And so you want to make sure you get everything back out of the house as fast as you can if you're going to get boxes from the supermarket and stuff.
Now, you told us on a previous show one time that there's about, I don't know, 85 million different types of cockroaches or something like that.
Yeah, there's about 3,000 or so.
Holy mackerel. And yep. They, like you say, they'll lay eggs in the box. I never even thought of the moving truck. You're right. You get a moving truck, you want to look inside, make sure there's nothing already in there that'll just transfer right over to you.
Well, you know, we've all been in, you know, that house that gave us the heebie-jeebies, if you will. somebody used a truck to move that house at some point. So you never know, you know, who was before you. So you want to look at all that, too.
So that's the prevention for getting that out. What about if you just happen to get some bugs in the boxes and you've got them stored in the bedroom? By the time you get them out, you got bugs in your house. What do you do to take care of that?
Usually if you catch it relatively quick, you know, if you see, basically if you move in and you see one roach, you got more than one. Just start baiting right then. You know, you can even just at the supermarket go out and get a gel bait that's in a syringe tube. It'll have the active ingredient of fipronil in there, and that'll usually get you back ahead of the problem before it really gets out of hand.
Anything special to do? You don't want to get that stuff on your hands or anything like that when you're applying that, right?
Just put it back. Think like a bug. When you flip the lights on, where do those roaches run to? That's where you want to put that bait back out, where they're not. You know, you can't see it. You're not going to rub into it. The dog's not going to lick it. The kids aren't going to swipe their fingers through it. Underneath the countertops and things like that.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we're right at the end of the show. We appreciate you calling in. Rick's got something he wants to say real quick. Carlton, we'll catch you again.
Just a reminder.
All right, I'm going to catch me a short.
All right.
The Making Home Affordable Program is a critical part of the Obama administration's broad strategy to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. Contact REACH for more information, and we'll have lots more on the Making Home Affordable Act next week.
You got it. Well, that's all the time left to us today. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with us. Do a hat tip to our friends in the Palm Beach VA. They're great to listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday from noon to 1. Tell your friends about our show. And remember, we're having fun helping kids.
I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got